Gilchrist moves over behind Kemp. He goes back to pass again. Runs out to the right.
Still on his feet. Now throws. It's good to Loughlin. At the 10. At the 5. Touchdown! Touchdown!
The John Murphy Show is on the air.
I like the job part of it. Richard set. Put down from behind. He never saw him coming. Kyle Williams. Never saw him coming.
The John Murphy Show. Presented by NOCO.
And now I'm a little more comfortable talking to you because I can tell you really know football. You know?
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the greatest show in sports.
Safety! 2 points on the board for the Buffalo Bills.
Hear all the action, all the excitement of Buffalo Bills football. Right here on
The John Murphy Show.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO. Tonight, joining Murph in studio is Bills head coach Doug Marrone, cornerback Aaron Williams, NFL reporter Adam Kaplan, and from BuffaloBills.com, Hannah Bueller. That and your phone calls tonight on The John Murphy Show.
This place is pandemonium!
Touchdown! C.J. Spiller, a 10-yard touchdown run, and what a run it was!
Live from One Bills Drive, this is The John Murphy Show on the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
All right, here we go. Another night, another radio night, 7 to 9 p.m. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, our last one of the week, because tomorrow night we're back on the podcast. Sabres hockey coming up tomorrow night puts us over on the podcast at BuffaloBills.com/John Murphy Show. So tonight's your night for interaction. If you want to interact with us, with me, your thoughts on things going on around the Buffalo Bills, you can give us a call tonight, 803-0550. You can always reach us via Twitter, at John Murphy Show. We've got Sabres in Ottawa coming up tomorrow night here on WGR Radio, so podcast tomorrow. 2 hours of radio tonight. You heard the lineup. Doug Marrone is going to be joining us in the 8 o'clock hour. Just kind of an overview of what's going on this week at the voluntary off-season conditioning. He's got a pretty good sampling of veterans in town the first few days this week, last 3 days, I should say, and that's going to go on for the next 4 or 5 weeks. Also want to ask Coach Marrone about some of the private quarterback workouts they have held over the last few weeks and about some of the private visits, a few more today with players coming in. Doug Marrone will be live with it, will be in studio with us, I should say, at 8 o'clock tonight. We're going to hear from Aaron Williams going into his third year, former second-round pick of the Bills out of the University of Texas, defensive back Aaron Williams. You know, he started 16 games over the first 2 years of his career, but I don't know that any Bills fans would refer to him as a starter, a solid starter just yet. We'll talk with him a little bit about that, a little bit about this voluntary offseason conditioning program coming up. We're going to hear from Adam Kaplan, who is an NFL reporter, Philadelphia-based NFL reporter, has interesting thoughts on Kevin Cobb. He's watched his career pretty closely over the last few weeks. And we're going to also hear from Hannah Bueller from BuffaloBills.com about a special deal coming up on BuffaloBills.com over the next 5 weeks for her. So that's all coming up tonight here at the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. I mentioned this with Shope and the Bulldog a moment ago. We are in deep into the season now of mock drafts. Everybody does a mock draft, from Joe Biscaglia, our friend at WGR, to Mel Kiper Jr., to Todd McShay, to Mike Mayock, and countless others. And it's pretty easy to do. You know what they are. You sit down, you look at the 32 first-round picks, and you can go deeper in the draft if you dare, and you try to match up players in this year's draft with the teams that they will wind up with in the first round. First round typically is what people look at in the mock draft. Did you know last year, mock drafts, the final mock draft done by some of the premier draft analysts, really not a high success rate when it comes to matching teams with players in the first round? Obviously, Mel Kiper Jr., that's been doing this for 25, 30 years now. Last year, his mock draft of the first round only, 32 first round picks last year, he had 6 of them correct with the right player going to the right team. Mike Mayock, who you see obviously on the NFL Network last year, 32 first-rounders, he had 4 correct, right player to the right team. Todd McShay, ESPN draft expert, kind of Mel Kiper's counterpart on ESPN. He had 4 first-rounders correct in the mock draft. Why do we pay attention to mock drafts? Why do we like them? I look at them. I read them. I think about them. Why do we do that? I mean, the success rate is very low. 4 out of 32, 6 out of 32 for Mel Kiper. And I know it changes. There are trades made. There are picks that come out of nowhere that throws off the rest of the board. But what is the attraction of mock drafts when you know that they really are not accurate? When you can get 6 right, as Mel Kiper does, and be considered an expert. You can get 4 right, like Mike Mayock does and be considered an expert. What's the attraction of mock drafts? Do you read them? Do you think about them? Do you consider any one of them accurate in terms of which player is going where in the first round, I might add, not to mention the six rounds that follow that? And you've seen those, right? The seven-round complete draft mock draft. It's ridiculous. I mean, nobody can hit that right. What do you think about that? Tell us what you think the attraction is of mock drafts. 803-0550, the number to call. Toll free, 1-888-550-2550. As always, you can follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. And we bring it up tonight because we've got 3 weeks left until the draft. 3 weeks from tonight. I believe it's 8 o'clock, the first round of the draft on April 25th from New York City. 3 weeks from tonight. We'll be here, obviously, covering that live with our show that night. 3 weeks from tonight, the first round of the draft. So we are deep into mock draft season now. And these experts, and some bigger experts than others, out there writing down 32 teams. Here's the 32 players, their best estimate on who's going where, based on needs of the teams, the players that fit, maybe rumblings of who likes whom, what scouts are spotted at pro day workouts. But when you try to match up teams with players, it not only is an inexact science, it's almost a futile endeavor when you consider that last year, Mel Kiper got 6 out of 32 correct in the first round. Mike Mayock got 4 out of 32. Todd McShay got 4 out of 32. What do you think of that? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll-free 1-888-550-2550. You can always follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. The other thing, and we do approach the draft, as we said, 3 weeks away, the quarterback spot for the Bills beginning to take shape a little bit now. We know that when they go to camp in July, they have Tarvaris Jackson under contract. They have Aaron Korp, the rookie from Richmond, under contract right now. They are reportedly have a deal with Kevin Cobb, although that has not been finalized. Apparently the paperwork not complete. The Bills have not announced it. Their policy is they announce it formally when the deal is done. It has not been announced formally yet. Our assumption is the deal is not done with Kevin Cobb, despite the 4- and 5-day-old reports that Cobb had agreed to terms with the Bills. That deal not done officially in the eyes of the Buffalo Bills, not announced yet. But the quarterback spot is taking shape for the Bills, and you're looking at Korp, Jackson, Tarvaris Jackson, Kevin Cobb, and who? Who would be your fourth to go to camp with third week of July? Who would be the fourth person you would add to that list? Kevin Cobb, Tarvaris Jackson, Aaron Korp, plus who? Who's your fourth for the Bills quarterback competition this summer at training camp? Let us know what you think. 803-0550, the number, toll free 1-888-550-2550. Follow us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. We are here in the studio live tonight, our last chance this week to take your phone call. So ring us up. Let us know what you think as we are 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. The preseason schedule, the opponents, came out today, and the exact dates and times are still to be scheduled, but 3 of Buffalo's 4 preseason opponents this year were playoff teams last year. 2 preseason games coming up at Orchard Park, 2 on the road. The 3 preseason opponents who are in the playoffs, the Colts, the Vikings, and the Washington Redskins. Week 1 of the preseason, that'll be August 8th through the 11th. The Bills play a game at Indianapolis against Andrew Luck and the Colts. Obviously, one of those playoff teams last year. The Bills lost that regular season game at Indianapolis last November by 7 points. Week 2 of preseason, sometime between August 15th and 19th, the Bills' home preseason opener, that'll be against the Minnesota Vikings between the August 15th and August 19th. They played at Minnesota last year in preseason and lost that game 36-14. Week 3 of the Bills' preseason, they'll go to Washington to play the Redskins. Do you think RG3 will be ready to play that day? I don't know. Obviously, week 3, typically the big preseason game. You wonder if RG3 is going to be physically ready to play in that game. It is sometime on the week of August 22nd through the 25th, the Bills and the Redskins, another familiar foe. This will be the 15th time the Bills and Redskins have played in preseason. They played last year here in Orchard Park. This year they go to Washington. And the finale, the traditional, it's become finale, against the Detroit Lions in week 4. 12th consecutive year, the Bills will wrap up their preseason schedule with a game against the Lions. This time it's Buffalo's turn to host. Week 4, August 29th through the 30th, the 33rd preseason meeting all time between the Bills and the Lions. You can check out the entire Bills preseason opponent schedule, not the dates or times, but you can check out the opponents at BuffaloBills.com. You can also take a look there for information about season tickets. Preseason schedule, opponents out today, dates and times still to be announced. The NFL schedules those. It's not the Bills' discretion. The NFL puts out the preseason schedule, released today, this afternoon at 4 o'clock. And the league schedule includes 11 nationally televised preseason games featuring all of the teams that were in the playoffs. Preseason kicks off Sunday, August 4th in the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. The Cowboys and the Miami Dolphins Sunday, August 4th, 8 p.m. kickoff. Super Bowl champion Baltimore Ravens are going to be on national TV in preseason when they play in Baltimore against Carolina Thursday, August 22nd. That would be week three. Of the preseason. The Bills, 3 weeks away from the draft, hosted four high-profile, big-name players here at Ralph Wilson Stadium today. Third straight day, they have shown off the complex here in Orchard Park to some of the players. Among those in town today, looking over the Bills complex, Geno Smith, West Virginia quarterback. He was here today, expected to be the first quarterback picked in the draft later this month. He is coming off that private workout session for the Bills, which came a couple of weeks ago in Morgantown, West Virginia. Also in town today at the complex today, linebacker Kevin Minter of LSU. This is a guy to watch. This is a guy I have a pretty good sense. The Bills like this guy a lot. Former teammate of Calvin Shepard at LSU. Inside linebacker, six-footer, 240 pounds. Played behind Shepard in his redshirt freshman year and then has started the last 2 years. 27 starts over the last 2 years for LSU. First-team All-SEC. He told us at the combine he met with the Bills, told us he would love to play here. Kenny Vaccaro was in for the Bills today. A safety from Texas. Another surefire first-round pick. Maybe the top safety prospect in this year's class. Six-footer, 214 pounds, top safety in the Big 12 the last two seasons. And Ryan Swope, an interesting prospect, was here today in One Bills Drive. Wide receiver from Texas A&M. He burned it at the combine, a 4.34 in the 40-yard dash, and opened a lot of eyes there. And very productive collegiate career at Texas A&M. 74 catches in each, average 74 catches in each of the last three seasons. Benefited from playing with Ryan Tannehill for a couple of those years. So far, if you're keeping score at home, the Bills have hosted 11 draft-eligible rookies so far this spring. They can host a total of 30, so that's 19 more potentially to come through the door here for the Buffalo Bills. Arizona Cardinals are going to work out Matt Barkley, the USC quarterback. That word came out today. The Cardinals just acquired Carson Palmer earlier this week, but they are going to work out a private workout with Matt Barkley at the USC campus on Saturday. The Bills had their workout with Matt Barkley earlier this week. Not likely the Cardinals would spend their first round or the seventh overall on Matt Barkley, but maybe they're looking for something later if Barkley should slide a little bit. That workout coming up this week, Saturday at USC. All right, what about the draft? 3 weeks away. Mel Kiper Jr., we talked about him a moment ago and how he only picked six of the first rounders going to the right team last year, six out of 32. Obviously, all eyes on the quarterbacks. And Mel Kiper held a conference call with reporters from around the league yesterday, talked about a variety of prospects, including Arkansas quarterback Tyler Wilson. We've talked a lot about on this show. We had a chance to sit with him at both the Combine and at the Senior Bowl back in January. Tyler Wilson, the Arkansas quarterback. Kiper found it interesting that no one's paying much attention to Tyler Wilson with all the attention focused on Geno Smith, Matt Barkley, and E.J. Manuel.
Yeah, he's the forgotten man in this quarterback class now. It's amazing. I mean, he went into the year, you thought maybe late first round, early second round, and then all of a sudden kind of the wheels came off for the program. You think about with Petrino gone and obviously a lot of changes, three receivers moved on to the NFL. You had the injury with Greg at tight end. You know, the offensive line issues continued. All of a sudden then, you had Davis didn't play as well as you thought he would. He's obviously had a lot of injury issues at Arkansas, the running back. And then, you know, Tyler Wilson had the injury early on. You know, the Alabama game you thought was going to be a key game for him, injured. You know, then you talk about, you know, he's kind of one of those guys, and then the small hands came up. But he's a tough kid. He looks down at gun barrel. He makes some very difficult throws. You know, he's the kind of kid, if he slides, becomes a value pick, a nice pick. And if he gets into the fourth round mix, which he could, third, fourth round mix, then there's a kid who at one point in time, if things would have fallen right, could have been a first-round pick, and I don't think anybody could have argued with it. So, yeah, at the end of the day, some things worked against him. That it's a lot of things beyond his control. And as I like to say, the small hands came into the equation as well. So I think he drops into the third or fourth round.
Interesting. And if he does, boy, I would think that'd be great value for the Bills or anybody. Tyler Wilson, the Arkansas quarterback, with a fairly productive career at Arkansas. And Mel Kiper kind of detailed his issues with the problems they had in Arkansas, coaching change, and a lot of players going to the NFL. But boy, if you can get him in a third or fourth round, Tyler Wilson, this is a guy who I believe at worst, is a backup in the league and maybe a potential starter. Tyler Wilson, that was Mel Kiper's thoughts on him. Another Tyler quarterback in the draft, Tyler Bray, who comes out early, elected to declare for the draft, coming out of the University of Tennessee, a physical specimen, Tyler Bray, but some big-time question marks about maturity and about maybe some off-field issues. Mel Kiper, yesterday in that conference call with NFL reporters, talked about Tyler Bray and his decision to declare for the draft.
Well, I was surprised he came out of Tennessee, first of all. I thought another year would have benefited him. You could say, well, you know, he's losing Justin Hunter, he's losing Zach Rodgers and Cordarrelle Patterson, but you know, they got some big offensive linemen coming back there. You can develop some receivers. It wasn't like Patterson had a phenomenal year. He only had the 1 year coming in from the JUCO route. Hunter was coming off the injury. So, you know, it was a case where another year could have really benefited him, but he did get his weight up. He did flash that arm strength, as you talked about at the combine. It's not uncommon. I mean, a lot of these guys need to throw. They're throwing at their pro day. They're throwing at the combine. Some opt to wait till their pro day in optimal conditions. But, you know, when you look at Tyler Bray, I think third round is when he gets really seriously into the discussion, fourth round. So, you know, a second round would surprise me if he went that early. But, hey, I've seen big, strong-arm guys like Bray go earlier than I project. So I'm looking at him as a third or fourth rounder at 6'6", 232. Who knows? Maybe somebody takes him in the second.
Interesting to watch that play out over the course of the draft where Tyler Bray, the Tennessee quarterback, goes. Just a couple of thoughts from Mel Kiper Jr. on the quarterback class coming out this year, 3 weeks away from the NFL draft. One other NFL news note today, the Detroit Lions announcing that kicker Jason Hansen has announced his retirement. 21 seasons in Detroit, a two-time Pro Bowl selection. He finishes number three in NFL history with 2,150 points scored, field goal percentage of 88.9, number three in league history with 495 field goals. Jason Hansen electing today to retire, one of the great kicking careers in NFL history, 21 seasons with the Detroit Lions. All right, it's the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and we're going to hear from Aaron Williams in a moment, but I want to get to a couple of phone calls about anything you'd like. We talked a little bit about the miss rate of NFL draft gurus on first-round projections in the mock draft. That's one issue that's out there. The other one, who is the fourth of this Bills quarterback situation? You know right now that under contract are Aaron Korp and Tarvarius Jackson. It is reported widely that Kevin Cobb has agreed to term with the Bills, not confirmed by the team yet. So who would be the fourth that you would add to that mix? Give us a call. Let us know what you think. 803-0550, toll free, 1-888-550-2550. You can always reach us on Twitter at John Murphy Show. Here is Butch on the east side. Hello, Butch, you're on the air.
Good evening, John, and thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
First of all, I wanted to say to you about the quarterback situation. We kind of set at quarterback. I'm going to be surprised. I'm going to shock a lot of people because, and Howard and Jeremy know about it early in the morning that I speak about it, but last year I was very proud of Buddy Nix getting T-Jack. I really believe he would have been a good quarterback for us last year. He's really going to be a good quarterback for us this year, along with Kevin Cobb. But at the same time, when you said about Todd McShay and you talk about Mel Kiper Jr. as far as the correct selection as far as on first-round selection, this year I'm going to go with Todd McShay. Todd said a couple two things. One, John, I spoke to you about before about Chance Wormack, a guard, yep, that I wouldn't mind getting. This is way before free agency even started. Secondly, Todd said today regarding that Buffalo might be the only team in the first 10 picks to get a quarterback. So I look at Geno Smith. Geno Smith, along with Kevin Cobb and T-Jack, solidify the whole that position for maybe for years to come. But now, John, I'm going to hang up and listen to the rest of your show, is that a few weeks ago you and I spoke about, I was telling you about getting a running back to get inside the tank, inside of getting the red zone to pound it. You asked me a question, who do I think we should get? At that time, I had a couple ideas, but I didn't tell you. The one that I would like, and I know you got Doug Marrone coming on in a little while, is that it'd be Peyton Hillis. I like the kid. I think he's a banger. When he was in Cleveland, he came to Buffalo. You was doing the call, John, on the radio. Peyton destroyed us. inside the paint. And I think that he can help us inside the paint fires in the red zone. So, John, I love you, man. Thanks for taking my call. I hope you have a great show, and I'm listening to the rest of the show. Thank you.
Thanks, Butch. I love you, too. Yeah, I just worry that Peyton Hillis' best days are behind him. I think his production in Kansas City dropped off dramatically, and I just don't know that I do think between the tackles, I think the Bills have a very strong runner in Fred Jackson. I wouldn't overlook him. Here is John in Batavia. John, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Thanks for taking my call. My call is about Atlanta Falcons just released Tyson Claypool, offensive lineman, for salary cap reasons. And if I remember correctly, in the 2011 season, I think he came, visited the Bills as a free agent.
Well, you know what? I thought about that, too. Now, I don't know that he visited, but there was definitely interest. You're right about that, John. And you remember the circumstances. It was right when the lockout ended at the end of July, and it was like a day or two before camp opened. There wasn't much time, but I think they came close. I think Buddy Nix came close to getting Tyson Claypool signed to a contract here, and he elected to stay with the Atlanta Falcons. Who knows? Maybe at the time he was just using Buffalo for leverage, but he is, I think.
Who basically is still very productive,
yeah.
But they have salary cap problems, and it would be, I think, it would be nice if the Bills would at least consider them. It would certainly help on the offensive line.
I agree. I like the way you're thinking, John, and I agree. I thought about that this morning when I heard that Tyson Claypool was out there or going to be released, and I guess it's official now, a salary cap issue for him. They cleared up about $4.5 million reportedly in cap space. And Pro Football Focus, one of those analytics sites, I looked this up today. Pro Football Focus has Tyson Claypool as their fifth highest rated right tackle in the league last year, which is pretty high. Now, I think the Bills obviously did a pretty good job in the offensive line. They've lost LaVitre. They've lost some depth with Chan Reinhardt. But if you could add Tyson Claypool and now get him at your price, not paying him what the Atlanta Falcons had to pay him to keep him around a couple of years ago, knowing that there was interest there a couple of years, I think that's definitely something to keep an eye on. I do. I think
Great job you do. Love you.
Thanks, John. Another one who loves me. I do. I think that's a guy to keep an eye on. Let's go to Greg in Florida. Greg, welcome. You're on the John Murphy Show.
Hey, John. How you doing?
Good.
Yeah, good. Hey, what I think is going to happen, I think that the Bills are going to trade down with Minnesota and get because I think Minnesota's high on, they need an impact receiver, and, you know, the Tennessee wide receiver I think would be the guy that would be perfect for them. I think we're going to wind up getting the Minnesota pick and the Seattle pick, and I think what we're going to wind up doing is taking either Manuel or Nassib. You know, it's weird, John, because I'm so torn, like this yin-yang with Barkley. I know he was a four-year starter at Notre Dame, four-year starter at USC. Mm-hmm. But I just don't see, you know, I mean, I think he doesn't have the foot speed. I think he's got this average arm. I think that I look at a guy like Nassib or Manuel with much more potential. Then I think we're going to either go defense or a wide receiver with that second first-round pick. So I don't know. Just one other thing, too. I think the Bills made a really smart move signing Alan Branch, too. Another good defensive player. Just want to see what your thoughts are on that.
That's some interesting thoughts. I agree with you on Branch. They got him, kind of a bargain basement price. They got him, it appears, for just 1 year, reportedly, and a fairly productive player. Minnesota, and you're gone out the phone, but Minnesota, as you probably know, has two first-rounders, 23 and 25, a definite need for receivers after their free agency losses, and maybe would be interested in moving up to get Cordarrelle Patterson, who probably slots in somewhere in the top 10 picks of the first round where the Bills are. And to take it further, I like the way you're thinking. I think Nassib would probably be there at 23 or 25, and there's a chance E.J. Manuel would be there at 23, 25. Making a lot of sense there. Thanks for your call all the way from Florida. All right, we're going to take a break, and we're going to come back and get in studio with Aaron Williams, Bills cornerback. Second-round pick a couple of years ago, a Texas Longhorn. We'll talk with him about his offseason and talk with him about the voluntary offseason conditioning program taking place right now this week here at One Bills Drive. Aaron Williams when we return. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live at One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO at One Bills Drive, and joining us in studio, getting set for his third year with the Buffalo Bills, defensive back Aaron Williams. Thanks for coming down here, Aaron.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I don't know how we made it through the entire season last year without you coming in here to our studio. I know we talked at training camp at Fisher, but we haven't done this in the studio.
Yeah, the last time we did was actually during training camp, and yeah. It was fun being on there. I'm surprised we even did do it again.
What was I thinking last year? Hey, this is, you're in your first week here of voluntary off-season conditioning. Obviously, you took the voluntary part seriously, the fact that you're here this week.
Oh, definitely. You know, especially when you have a new coach. You don't ever want to not be here. You know, with a new coaching staff. You know, I wanted to come here and not only work out, but, you know, get well acquainted with my new coach and the new playbook and just work from there.
Tell me and tell our listeners what a typical day is like for you guys here this week. You know, what do you go through when you're here at this voluntary workout program? I mean,
pretty much you have two groups. You know, either the morning group and the afternoon group. It all depends on which one you want to do. If you're a morning person, you're obviously in the morning, early mornings, and guys who don't like waking up come in the afternoons. In between them, we have a little team meeting, about maybe 10, 15 minutes. And then we'll go do a little install, about maybe an hour or 45 minutes. And then after that, you know, it's just you choose. You know, you pick more time in the playbook or do things you want to do, get your mind off things or whatever.
So how long a day is it then typically this week for you here?
Typically, and I'm probably here about from 9 to about 2.
Okay. It's a pretty good day. And you said it's when you do the team meeting, that's the entire team, like both groups, morning and afternoon,
yeah,
get together?
Yeah, just a quick, you know, business meeting, basically.
Okay.
Coach gives the little scoop, not only, you know, what we're doing as far as install, but just around the league kind of stuff, what the team's doing, stuff like that.
And then do you break out into defensive back?
Yeah, after that, you know, offense, defense, break it up evenly, and we have a defensive team meeting, offense team meeting, and then, you know, we separate in our position groups.
And you say you're already into install, which means they're showing you the kind of defensive schemes and the kind of coverages you guys are going to run.
Yeah, you know, we already started getting into the playbook. We put a few things in, and it's an exciting defense, I can say that.
What makes it exciting?
Oh, man, just a lot of different schemes and stuff we didn't do last year. A lot of new things. A few things that, you know, put me in, and not only me, but other players, you know, Mario and all the key guys in the best position possible.
Aaron, tell us a little bit about the fact that it's an early jump for this coaching staff. I mean, you get a couple of week edge, I guess, on teams that have not changed coaches. Do you think that'll make a difference to have a 2-week head start?
I think so, just because we're in the playbook more than the other teams. And I actually like it that way, you know, we would come back early. Because you won't have to rush, you know, before training camp to figure things out. You know, you already have the mindset of, you know, what you got to do, what your responsibility is, and not be really, you know, skeptical about, you know, your responsibility because you haven't been really learning it as fast as possible.
I'm trying to remember last year, you were in here earlier, weren't you, for the off-season program?
Yeah,
wasn't it sometime in March?
Yeah, kind of. I came in a little like early middle area, kind of the same time as I am now. So it's really nothing different.
Okay.
And, I chose to come back and work out with Siona.
And then in your first year, your rookie year, of course, you had the big mix-up with the lockout.
Yeah.
I mean, what a terrible way to start in the NFL, really.
Yeah.
And then you can't do anything until training camp opens.
Yeah.
I think it was July 28th or so.
Yeah, talk about being thrown in the fire. I mean, looking back, you know, actually going through OTAs and minicamp and all that, and looking back and just having a lockout and going to training camp, man, it was learn as quick as possible. And, you know, you try to come up with a scheme. But it actually helped me out because it actually helps me now to develop learning things faster and faster.
Yeah, when you have to learn under the gun, you have to do it. Hey, there's been a lot of talk this week about a new attitude, a new tone set by Doug Marrone and his coaching staff. Do you detect that with the stuff they've done, even the cosmetic changes around the building this week?
Yeah, I mean, first thing I walked in the building was a lot of things hung up on the wall that we didn't have last year. The practice field, a lot of the AFC and the AFL championship banners are up, and then we have the Lombardi Trophy round. You know, that's the number one goal we have going in. And, you know, just talking to Coach, you know, we talked one-on-one in his office, and I can definitely tell he has a totally different attitude about what his expectations are this season. And number one thing is to get back to the playoffs because 13 years is unacceptable.
What do you think about having, and it's in several places, it's almost like one of those fathead things on the wall of the Lombardi Trophy.
Yeah.
What do you think when you see that in the meeting rooms and in the hallways around here?
That lets me know that these guys are serious. You know, this is just not something you know, put up here for decoration. They're really serious about getting that trophy. And, you know, back in the 90s, that, you know, had that dominant team. He wants to go back to that dominant team. And like Coach says, have people look at a schedule and they see the Bills and make them cringe a little bit. So that's what attitude we're trying to bring back.
And they also, I think this is a departure this year when you showed up here on Tuesday of this week, they handed out iPads to every returning player. Yeah. What's that all about? What do you do with that?
Basically, you just have, the iPad for your playbook instead of an actual big playbook you carry around that's about 20 pounds. Now everything is, technology nowadays. You have it all on your iPad. You look it up at home. It's a lot easier, I feel like.
Are you one of those guys that used that technology anyway last year for football stuff?
Yeah, I used it when we first got the first app called Shuttle.
Right.
And it helped a lot just because, we're always on our iPad now. You know, you never see a playbook and you're like, oh, it's a big playbook.
Yeah.
But now your iPad, you flip through it, go through it. It's actually more fun going through iPad than it is a playbook.
We're talking with Bills defensive back Aaron Williams, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. So you've been here 2 years, Aaron, and over those 2 years you've started a total of 16 games, the first 8 games as a starter last year. That's pretty good experience for the first 2 years in the league, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, it's right. After my first rookie year, when Terrence went down, once again got thrown in the fire, had to pick up things quickly. And, it's your job to go out there when your name is called and do the best of your abilities.
What have you liked about those first 2 years in the league?
The first 2 years in the league, first year was good. The second year, it was a rough year. So it made me comparison of to how I handled things when it was bad and how I handled things when it was good. And now I know that how both kind of those years are. I can improve on this next year. And I'm telling you right now, this year not for me, but for the team, is going to be a big year.
What did you not like about last year? What did you think went rough for you?
Just my confidence, And I never usually, my confidence just never goes down low. And my confidence, kind of lost it after maybe the third game of the season. And I had, when George was here, he helped me out a lot. And Bird, Terrence, and Leo built my confidence up. And, Now my confidence is through the roof, and I'm ready to go back out there and do work.
Aaron, you're at a position, really, where maintaining an even keel is almost essential. And you mentioned, like, Liotis. I think of Liotis as a guy who really doesn't get too up or too down when he's out there playing defensive back. Yeah. Is that the way you would like to approach it as far as the highs and lows that will come at your position?
I like to stay high no matter what.
Yeah.
If it's bad, stay high. If it's high, you stay even higher. You never want a point in your career to go down low. Your confidence always has to be up. You never want to show your opponent that, you're giving up or you're frustrated. Always have a positive mindset, and it'll take you a long way.
You mentioned just a moment ago a couple of guys who are no longer here, guys that you look to for leadership and maybe some guidance when you talked about George Wilson and Terrence McGee. How much do you think you might miss those two?
I'll miss them a lot. But they moved on to different teams, and unfortunately, if we play them, we gotta kick their butts. Learn what they taught us and then apply it to them. And, it's a business, and good luck to those guys, but we're setting for a goal, and we're going to reach that goal.
Aaron, you were one of a group of pretty talented cornerbacks on this roster, young cornerbacks, when you think of Gilmore and McKelvin and, Justin Rogers and some of the others. That's a good young core group of pretty talented DBs back there, isn't it?
Yeah, I wouldn't. I keep hearing the young DBs. I feel like after your first year, you're not young no more. You've been through 16 games. You've been through OTAs and minicamp now. You have the experience. Once that first year is gone, all that young excuse, all that is out the window. You got to be ready. You got to become a veteran. Get ready for the other rookies to come in and teach them what you learned when your first year. And, we've learned the last 2 years a lot from the past two seasons. So, we're a veteran DB corps now.
Bills cornerback Aaron Williams, our guest. And I want to talk a little bit about your offseason, because every time you show up on Twitter during the offseason, it seems like you're talking about rodeo.
Yeah.
You're a rodeo guy. You're a fan. And do you participate in rodeos also?
I try to. We have, the Austin Rodeo, the Houston Rodeo, San Antonio Rodeo. So anytime there's a rodeo, I try to, learn, just like football. When some event comes, you want to learn the best, around the best. And, rodeo for me is just something to get away from football and just kind of clear my mind. It's kind of like my getaway. So whenever I have a chance to ride my horses, I go out there and ride for a while.
Do you own horses?
Yeah, I actually own two up here.
Do you?
Yeah.
What kind of horses?
I got a paint, a quarter horse.
Okay.
So my paint's a little, go around and ride, and my quarter horse is kind of a show horse. Doing a lot of reining stuff, little competitions, win some money on the side.
Do you, in show, horse shows, that's what you do. You don't do rodeos with the quarter horse out there, do you?
No, not that one.
And do you participate in rodeo events? What events do you do? Or?
I'm starting to do a team roping here in a little bit. Trying to find a teammate to come with me. It's kind of hard though, because you know I meet somebody in Buffalo and then I'm in Texas and he has to come back to Texas, or if I meet somebody in Texas, I have to come back to Buffalo. So, you know, trying to compromise to whoever's going to, you know, compete with me.
You know, I'm not I'm not an expert at all on rodeo. I've been to rodeos, and the one thing that I took away from it the couple times I've been was the athleticism of many of the cowboys. I mean, these are some of the toughest guys you'll ever see doing a variety of athletic moves and tasks. I mean, it's pretty impressive at the highest level of rodeo, isn't it?
Yeah, it's you know, I take what cowboys taught me in the rodeo, I apply it to football. You know, you see guys get, you know, horned in the face and headbutted by big bulls, and they keep going, they keep rolling. You know, in football, you know, when you have a sprained ankle, you're not going to, you know, quit. You know, I think of that, you know, man, it could be worse. You know, keep pushing through the pain, you know, fight through the pain. So, you know, it teaches me, you know, both sides of the field.
This is what I like about rodeo, and I've told people this. Rodeo guy can get thrown off a horse or something or fall off the horse, and they get up, and if they're hurt, you never know it. They kind of just brush off their pants and walk away.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing how they do that. You know, I think of a lot when the Bills play the Patriots, I always remark on the radio broadcast, Wes Welker to me looks like he'd be a good rodeo athlete, doesn't he? I mean, the guy's getting bounced around. Yeah. He's got kind of that build, that wiry, tough build. You played against him. What do you think?
Yeah, Wes is just, yeah, he doesn't show any emotion.
Yeah.
I actually never heard him talk any trash, or when he gets hit hard, you know, especially the Ed Reed hit, you know, he got right back up and walked it off. And I give much respect to Wes because he's not the biggest guy in the field, but he plays like he's the biggest guy. So, you know, guys like that, you want to have on your team.
Back to football, Aaron. What are your goals for this year, both for you and for this Buffalo Bills team?
Playoffs.
Really?
That's the number one goal. It don't matter what I want. Personally, you know, what my goals are personal, I'm going to keep it personal. But right now, it's not about me. It's about the team, and that's to get to the playoffs, and that's it. There's no other goal but that.
Good luck to you. Good to see you.
I appreciate it. Thank you for having me.
Aaron Williams, Bills defensive back, going into his third year. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. Aaron Williams, our thanks to him for joining us on the show. It's always good to interesting stuff about the rodeo. I think a Texas native who's seriously into his horses and into the rodeo, and we enjoyed talking with Aaron Williams about that today. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO, and happy to have you in our audience tonight. Let's take a quick phone call here. Griffin, you're on the air. Hi, Griffin. Good to be with you. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
I was wondering where Monty Teo would go. Like, would he be still there when the Bills pick at 41?
Doubtful, Griffin. Most people think that Teo is a late first rounder, somewhere down around where the Bears and the Vikings are. I think I've seen his name linked to those two teams in particular, in the 20s to the end of the draft. He could be there second round, but most, especially after his pro day workout at Notre Dame a couple of weeks ago, I think most people believe that Manti Te'o is going to be down there around the 20s, 20 to 32, somewhere in the bottom third of the first round. Thanks for calling. We've got another hour coming up, but I want to tell you, of course, that we're just now about, 11 days away from making our debut in Rochester, the John Murphy Show. Going to be on the air, on the radio in Rochester, as well as on here on WGR Radio. Entercom and the Bills making the announcement. The John Murphy Show presented by NOCO is going to make its Rochester debut a week from Monday, April 15th. We're going to be on Sports Radio 950 ESPN Radio in Rochester. So make sure you tune in for that. We're already planning a few special guests for that night on Monday, April 15th, when we make our premiere on Rochester Radio, right up and down the thruway. Buffalo, Rochester, we're just a couple of weeks away from that. 3 weeks away from the NFL draft, and want to make sure you've caught this, the M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge. It is up on our website right now, buffalobills.com. 7th annual M&T Bank Buffalo Bills Draft Day Challenge. Fans who correctly guess the Bills' first pick in the draft are entered to win a prize package. There will be 5 winners selected at random, and those 5 will get an exclusive meet and greet with the top draft pick, whoever it is. You'll get a private tour of the Buffalo Bills facilities, and you get an autographed NFL draft helmet. I've seen these winners show up typically during the June minicamps. They bring them in. The 5 winners randomly selected who correctly guess the first pick for the Bills in the NFL draft. 7th year they've done it. 7th annual M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge. Past winners have had a chance to sit down with Stephon Gilmore and C.J. Spiller, talk about their transition to the pro game. So it's interesting. You can log on to buffalobills.com/draftdaychallenge and make your prediction. Who do you think the Bills will pick first in the draft? They're not necessarily their first round pick, but their first pick in the NFL draft. It's at buffalobills.com/draftdaychallenge, or you can go to facebook.com/mybillscard. And it's all going to wind up on draft day, 3 weeks from today, April 25th, 5 p.m. The M&T Bank Draft Day Challenge. You have 3 weeks to enter. Who do you think will be the Bills' first pick in the NFL draft? If you are among the winners, five of them will be selected at random and get an exclusive meet and greet with the top draft pick. The contest open to legal residents of the U.S. at least 13 years of age or older. All right, Doug Marrone's coming up next hour. We'll talk with the Bills head coach about what's going on here this week, the voluntary offseason conditioning program. Also, we're going to talk with Adam Kaplan, sports writer from Philadelphia, NFL reporter from Adam Kaplan NFL. We'll talk with him about the Bills and Kevin Kopp. We'll hear from Hannah Buehler next hour as well. It is the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. One more hour to go. So we come to you live from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
And this crowd is on its feet, and it is pandemonium. And that's only the half of it.
He's going to the house. He's doing it again. My man, touchdown Buffalo.
I tend to think of myself as a one-man wolf pack.
Halftime is over. We're back with more of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO.
You can't stop C.J. Spiller. You can't stop him. How did he do it? How did he do it?
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Family owned and locally operated since 1933. At home, at work, and on the go, NOCO.
Send him to Hawaii. Put him in the Pro Bowl. He is a playmaker.
This gentleman is the Buffalo Bills' finest hour.
The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. On the official voice of the Buffalo Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.
Welcome back. Hour two of the John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO from One Bills Drive. And joining us in studio in this first week of the voluntary offseason conditioning program is Bills head coach Doug Marrone. This is, I believe, your second, maybe your third appearance in the studio, coach. Thank you for doing this.
I'm excited to be here.
You sound like exactly. You're giving me a hard time about the Final Four this weekend.
Let's get it out of the way
because it's the elephant in the room.
Michigan, Syracuse. Now, yes. You're a Syracuse grad.
I am.
And a good friend of yours coaches for Michigan.
Yes.
So what's the pick?
I got to go with my friend, coach. I've known this guy for 40-some years, and he's been good to me over the years. And I'm going with my pal.
You just lost about half of your contacts in Newhouse now. Your networking now has just been cut.
Yeah, yeah. So, you're right. But exactly. I'm loyal to my friends.
And not loyal to your school.
That is after my friends. Family, friends, maybe a couple other things. The Buffalo Bills are in there somewhere, and then my school.
I was going to say, where are the Bills?
They're in there somewhere.
We might stop this show right now.
Hey, coach, you've got your players, finally, first week of voluntary offseason conditioning. What are you trying to accomplish when you have these guys in here this week?
Well, I think, at first, I want to make sure that the players know how excited I am to be part of this organization. And I think it's important that, they see that and they feel that. That's been my big thing of the energy, feeling this energy. And I think that, when you get to this situation right now and, the coaches are all new and some of the players obviously change, the chemistry of a team changes from year to year. So I think it's a matter of just making sure that you're building that trust, the communication, they're learning how you communicate, we're getting them to communicate. And then, it just takes some time.
It's funny you mentioned the energy because of the players we've had in here in the studio the last few days and even the players who are at the news conference, they all mentioned that. They detect that energy. They know, they sense already that things have changed. That's probably what you were setting out to do, right?
Well, I mean, you don't sit out there and say, okay, here's my plan and be something that you're not. And I think what you do is you say, okay, I want to make sure the players understand, who I am as the head coach, who our assistant coaches are, and just show yourself for what you are. Because, if you go in there and it's something phony, the players will see right through that. And then all of a sudden, before you even got started, Murph, you're in trouble.
It is a voluntary offseason program. Are you satisfied with the numbers, with the turnout you've had for these first two or three days?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the players have done an excellent job.
What do you think? You've been in this position as a player in the NFL. What goes through their head when they think voluntary? Like, I better be there, new coaching staff. Or do you think it's, I better be there, this is my profession? I mean, what do you think goes through the player's head?
Well, I can't really speak for any players, but as far as what my observation is, and I've talked to the players about this, is that, you know, the difference between whether it was 4 years ago when I was in this league or back when I was a player, you know, we always reported, you know, quite early.
Yeah.
And it gave us a lot of time to, you know, run, lift, condition before we really started ever, you know, working in a mini camp or with our coaches. And I think that, you know, probably the reason why there are a lot of rules now is because we as coaches have made those mistakes, you know, and tried to bring plays in early and try to get a jump and try to get ahead. And I think the way it's set up right now, what I talked to the players about is there's more accountability on them to make sure that they're working and doing all the right things before they've come in, more so than it was when 4 years ago when I was a player.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Most of these guys have, you know, they've been off since the first of the year. Most of them have had their own workouts regimen that they've done wherever they've been, in Buffalo or elsewhere. How much do you think that changes the team supervised workouts for them now in terms of the work that they do in the field and the type of workouts they get?
You know, I just think naturally, human nature, I think when, you know, when you're training as a team, you know, you're able to push yourself a little bit more. And I'm not saying that the people that train on their own can't get a lot of things accomplished. They can. But I think when you're together as a team, and I've always, you know, had conversations about team building. And people say, well, what is team building? Well, some people say, well, hey, take the team and go to a picnic. Some people say, let's go play some paintball, or let's do those type of activities. You know, but for me, team building is when, you know, I'm out there running or I'm lifting and I'm struggling to get that last rep, or, you know, I'm tired, I don't want to run this extra sprint, you know, and I look over and there's someone next to me and he says, come on, let's go, we have to go. Okay, you can count on me to do it. I really think at the end of the day, when you're done and you're in the locker room and you're looking around and everyone's tired, I think of that as more team building.
You don't get that when you're out there working by yourself, no matter where you are, right?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah. You get a 2-week jump on most of the rest of the league because you're a new coaching staff. How much of an advantage do you view that as?
Well, I don't view that as an advantage from the standpoint of we have so much more work to do, you know, meaning schematically, not our players as far as getting in shape or anything like that, but more so, you know, the offensive system, defensive system, and special teams. So from that standpoint, you know, it's the first time they've ever heard this terminology or communication. Some of it may carry over, some of it may not, where, you know, and it's only 2 weeks, so it's really not that long of a period of time.
You know, you mentioned, and one of the players mentioned how you do have classroom time during this. You're getting them, what, in groups and as a whole team in the classroom and introducing almost, you're not installing stuff yet, are you?
Well, how we start is we start with the team, okay? So we have a team meeting, you know, and again, it's one of the few times, because you want to bring the team together, because this way, obviously, we get a chance to see each other, and I get a chance to see everybody,
yeah.
You know, and then obviously, then it splits up into units, offense, defense, special teams, and then obviously, it splits into individual groups after that.
And in those meetings, are the coaches, the assistant coaches introducing, here's our defensive package, here's our offensive package. Has that already begun?
Yes, it has.
And it's early to do that, right? I mean, you need to do that because it's all new to these players. But does it feel, I mean, you've got to go over it and over it and over it, obviously, before you get to training camp, I would think, right?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, my philosophy has always been if you can, you know, if you get, you know, 3 installations in a year, you know, being the same installations, it's good. The retention's very good for, obviously, the players. So, you know, for us, we'll get it in now in these next couple of weeks, and then obviously we'll do it again in OTAs, and then obviously we'll do it again in the preseason camp.
You know, much has been talked about this week about the new signage and the messaging for the players. What are you attempting? What is the message you're attempting to send to the players with the cosmetic changes we see around the building?
Well, I think, you know, what you see is something that we want to grow together with as a team. But I think there's a point where, you know, you want to make sure that you have an understanding of the organization and the history. And there's been some great things that have been done here by players in the past. So, you know, when you go and you see the banners, you know, from the early 90s up there, and you see the championships from the early 60s, all right, and you see those things, you know, you realize that you're part of something special. Now, you look at those things, and we have all the, you know, all Pro Bowl players around the indoor facility, and you look at those things and you say, okay, you know, my time here, you know, what am I going to do here? What where am I going to be as part of this history? And that's one of the things you're striving for. You know, obviously we have Super Bowl trophies up, we have NFL shields up, and we have, you know, just some messaging for motivation. But hopefully, you know, as we grow together as a team, we'll be able to work collectively on the messaging.
Doug, when the players returned this week, you distributed iPads. What's that all about? What are you trying to accomplish there?
Well, I think we can all relate to that. I mean, you know, obviously I have three young children, 7, 9, and 11. Shoot, they're on that iPad. They're better than I am. And I think it's a way, you know, when you look at how people are learning nowadays, they're learning from the computer. Plus, it can hold a whole lot more for the player. And it basically can become a convenience for them. You know, we're able to put, you know, obviously playbook on it. And obviously we're able to put video on it. We can do a lot of things where we can give them better teaching methods or tendencies to help them, you know, become better football players. Plus, a lot of them, you know, the first thing they said, it's a lot lighter than a playbook.
Yeah, they all said that. Did you do anything similar at Syracuse or even at the Saints before?
We did it. You know, what happened was is that I had heard that the NFL, some of the teams were starting to do it. There was about 4 to 6 teams, and I didn't want to jump in right away. I figured, you know, the first year there's going to be some complications, and I figured, well, let those companies work out the kinks in it. And then we talked about 4 to 6 teams, about what the problems were, what was going on, and then we were able to get it. And, you know, our kids really did a good job with it, and I think that the players here appreciate what we're trying to do for them.
Coach Wild, this offseason work begins this week with the returning veterans. You're also hosting draft-eligible rookies this week and for the next few days. Total of 30 visits you're able to have. What goes on at those meetings when you bring these rookies in? What's that day like for them, and what do you hope to get out of that?
Well, you know, obviously we're trying to learn something, you know, and you're trying to learn things that you can't see on film. And I think that's what's important. And it's just part of the process that we go through as far as our scouting department with the scouts and with the coaches. So, you know, for us, we just continue to learn. I think that, you know, when you look, at least for me as a coach, maybe it might be different for the scouts, we don't really spend a lot of time. You know, people are like, well, gosh, you're down in Indy, you're spending all that time in Indy, but you know, their time there, you know, medical, they're going all over the place. So, you know, you have about a 15-minute interview, you know, at a place, and then you can have another, you know, 15-minute interview with people that are on your list, and then it's up to you to travel around, either to go see them, travel to their campuses, or you bring them into your campus.
And some of these guys, this is your, what, second or third exposure to them based on, you know, combine, Senior Bowl, private workouts, right?
I think we finally made it where I've been exposed to the players here more than I've been exposed to those draft-eligible players.
You finally caught up.
Yes, exactly.
The private workouts that you've had in the last couple of weeks with quarterbacks and others, what do you find are the benefits of those?
Well, I think they're important, not just with quarterbacks, but with every position. And obviously, I've been on all the quarterback ones. And I think specifically what I've always tried to do, or my philosophy has always been, is that, you know, you're able to see some things on tape of what they do well. And there's some things that maybe their coach or their system didn't ask them to do. So you're able to go out there and have them do those things. And maybe there's some things you're not sure that they can do that you want to get them to do while you're out there. So, you know, a lot of the other workouts, people are dictating what they do, like in Indianapolis at the combine, or if you go to their pro day, you know, a lot of people are dictating what they're going to do. But in the private workout, it's truly your workout, and you can ask that player to do whatever you need to see.
Coach, it's to wrap things up, I got to tell you one impression from listening to players over the last few days here, the returning veterans. A couple of them have, when asked about you, a couple of them have said, well, he's from the Bronx. He's a straight shooter. I mean, you come in with a reputation, which has got to help in your initial dealings, at least first impressions with these guys.
Well, it goes back to, you know, a story that I'll share with you is, you know, when I was a player with the New Orleans Saints, Plan B free agency was around. And I had a contract offer from Minnesota. It was a good contract offer. It was a sign and bonus contract. And in the contract, there were a lot of playing incentives. I went in there with the late Jim Finks, and I spoke to him, and I said, you know, well, I'd really like you guys to match the contract that I have in Minnesota, because I'd like to stay here. And he said, Doug, I'm going to tell you, we'll match the sign and bonus, we'll match the contract, but we're not going to match the incentives. And I said, well, I don't understand. Why won't you do that? He said, because for you to play, it was playing incentives. For you to play, someone has to get hurt. You're a backup player. And I remember I left that meeting, I'm like, boy, was I upset. I was pissed, you know, obviously as a player, and I was like, I'm going to go and prove. But you know what? I always respected him, you know, because he shot me straight. And I think when you're a player, you want to be told the truth. You may not like what the coach says, But when you walk out, at least you know where that coach stands, and you know where you are as a player.
Yeah, great story. Thanks, Coach.
Great. Thanks, Murph.
Head Coach Doug Marrone in our studio today as we talk about this voluntary off-season conditioning program. And what did you hear there that you liked or didn't like? Maybe you had some issues that you thought I should ask the coach. Give us a call. Let us know. 803-0550, the number toll-free, 1-888-550-2550. A couple of things that I took out of it. The private workouts they have with the players and the meetings going on, including those this week here at One Bills Drive with the draft-eligible players. You know, our sense is, and we've been talking about the same names in many respects and many of the same players, our sense is what can be left to learn about these players. Apparently a lot, and that's why they do these meetings, according to Doug Marrone. That's why, you know, they have these players in, four of them in today for meetings with the coaching staff. That's why they go to have those private workouts, including one that reportedly is on the schedule for this weekend at Syracuse with Ryan Nassib. I mean, if there's anybody in this draft class that you would think the Bills have a pretty good handle on, it's Ryan Nassib. And yet the report is they'll be out in Syracuse this weekend for another workout, a private workout with Ryan Nassib. So I found that to be interesting. The team-building concepts that Doug Marrone talked about, I found that very interesting. So, as you know, despite the hue and cry when Stevie Johnson made his famous comment at the Super Bowl about not working out in the offseason, he does, in fact, work out. That's been demonstrated. All of these guys work out. They couldn't exist. They couldn't last in the NFL if they didn't work out. But Marrone thinks there's a lot of benefit to having them in place here in the facility, working out, doing conditioning work, weight room work as a team. And not just working out in their private gyms or at their, private clubs or, the IMG facility or whoever their agent may set them up. He said, when you're training as a team, you're able to push yourself a little bit more. He thinks it gets into team building. He said, it's funny because I think a lot about when Pete Carroll in his first NFL, I think it was his first, was he at the Jets first, I believe? And there was a lot, the Jets got off to a good start one year, and a lot of it was attributed to team building. And, Pete Carroll took the team to the movies instead of practice one day. And Marrone said, some people think team building means take the team on a picnic or go play paintball. And I think he's dead on when he talks about real team building occurs in the type of activity that's going on out here today, when there's guys in the weight room pushing each other, talking to each other, encouraging each other to get that extra rep, or on the field. I mean, I've watched a couple of these off-season conditioning workouts, some pretty grueling stuff going on out on the field inside the field house today. Some big offensive linemen running around out there today on the field, carrying, they had to be, 50-pound weights in each hand and doing agility plus weight drills. I mean, pushing each other, groups of 10 of them running at a time through sort of a obstacle course of, obstacles with weights in their arms in some cases and pushing mini blocking sleds in others. That could be team building, guys encouraging each other. That, I think, is the type of thing that Doug Marrone's talking about. He said, for me, team building, this is Marrone talking, he says, when you're out there running or lifting and struggling to get the last rep, I'm tired, don't want to do it, don't want to do the extra sprint, and I look over and there's someone next to me doing the same thing saying, let's go. I think he's dead on with that. And I think he's also dead on that when the workout's over, as it was today, and guys are tired and they go to the locker room, these are all veterans now, and they go to the locker room, I think that goes a long way towards team building. I thought he made a lot of sense about that, just what they're getting done. And the other thing that I took out of Doug Marrone's comments just a moment ago was about the time they spend in the classroom during this two-week period before the rest of the league gets to go. The teams that did not hire new head coaches, the Bills get 2 weeks because of the new coaching staff. And there's time in the classroom, installation of systems. I mean, let's face it, they've got a new offense, new defense, new special team systems to put in, and they're doing a lot, an hour and a half of meeting time anyway, just beginning to lay the groundwork for putting in those systems. So there is, I believe, some important work going on out here at One Bills Drive. Let's take a call from Ray in Buffalo. Hi, Ray, you're on the John Murphy Show. Go ahead.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to say I think Doug Marrone is right on what he's saying. He's not going to sugarcoat nothing. I mean, by him doing that, makes you fight even more, even whether you're a backup, you fight even more. And my second question is, towards the playbook, whether it's small or big, I mean, do you think that has any significance, whether the playbook is small or big? And I love the moves that they made, bringing in Alan Branch. I think slowly but surely this team is going to be a championship team again, and I'm confident in the abilities that they're putting us in the right direction, and I hang up and listen.
Okay, and I think when you're talking about playbooks, you were asking about the iPads, small or big. You know, I think the capacity on most of these things is so great that they, you know, they may wind up with more actual pages in the playbook because guys aren't going to be lugging around, you know, actual paper pages. They'll have all of these pages and all this information available on their iPads, which, you know, teams have done it. It's not revolutionary. As you heard a couple of players say this week, players have done it on their own over the last few years. I think Eric Wood was talking about that the other day. You know, download video onto their iPads and watch video on route to games and coming home from games. Now it is kind of officially sanctioned iPads. I think the players got them each with their individual name on there. And that's where the game plan will be sent to them. That's where the playbook will be. I think it's just a more efficient way to do it. And it also, I think, encourages players to look at the playbook, look at the game plan, watch video on their own time. You know, they don't necessarily have to get out the big book or they don't necessarily have to, you know, put tapes in a tape player. It's right there at their fingertips. I think that's what you're referring to. He is a straight shooter. I thought there was a pretty interesting story about the contract negotiation with Jim Finks. And that, I think that's the benefit, too, of having a coach who's played in the league, who's been on the other side of that table with the general manager telling him, hey, we're not going to give you those playing time incentives in your contract because you're not going to hit them. You know, you're not going to be a starter. That's straight shooting. I mean, that's ultimate straight shooting. Marone's been on the other end of it. It sounds like he's ready to dish out that sort of straight shooting to the players that he has on his roster now as a head coach. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the Bills and the rest of the NFL with Adam Kaplan, an NFL reporter, covers the league for thesidelineview.com, another also a pretty informative Twitter site at Kaplan NFL. That's coming up next, the John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Live at One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. Want to remind you, check out BuffaloBills.com. You can, when this show's over, you can hear much of the show. Of course, we like to segment off portions of the show and put it up on the website, BuffaloBills.com. Our countdown to the NFL draft continues. Ziggy Ansah, the BYU pass rush specialist, the featured performer today in Bills Focus, a video piece on him. That's up there at BuffaloBills.com. All sorts of stuff there at BuffaloBills.com. We're going to talk about the NFL draft and about the NFL in general for the next few minutes. On the line with us live from Philadelphia, NFL reporter Adam Kaplan, who's been covering the league for the last 12 years. You hear him on Sirius XM NFL Radio and NFL analyst for the PhiladelphiaEagles.com. And, of course, his Twitter site, very popular, at Kaplan NFL. Adam Kaplan on the line with us. Adam, thanks for coming on. We appreciate it.
John, glad to be with you tonight.
You got our attention the other day when the reports came out over the weekend that the Bills had reached agreement with Kevin Cobb, the former Eagles and Cardinals quarterback, and you had some pretty interesting things, complimentary things, really, to say about Kevin Cobb. You watched him play for the Eagles for a while, right?
Yeah, and in fact, John, what I think with Kevin Cobb is very simple. If you manage him the right way and have your offense structured where when he's played well, it's really in a 3- and 5-step drop game. He could do very well. He did very well with the Eagles when he got the ball out of his hands quickly. He was very accurate, did a good job. With the Cardinals, unfortunately, John, they couldn't run the ball. They couldn't protect him. They're the NFL's worst offensive line, and it was a disaster. He's still relatively young in NFL circles. He's a smart guy. He's been beat up a little bit physically the last couple seasons. But I think when you look at it, I really like this scheme that Doug Marone's coming in with Nathaniel Hackett. They're going to run their own version of the K-Gun. This is what they ran last year at Syracuse. I can't wait to see Cobb in this scheme. I think it's going to be fine. I think he's going to. I think he's actually going to do well in it. And I look forward to seeing him.
You know, when you talk about 3-step, 5-step drop, and it sounds, you know, for lack of a better term, like a West Coast style of offense. And when I think of what Ken Wisenhunt tried to do out there in Arizona, it's pretty much the Steelers style of offense, right? With deep quarterback drops and a deep passing attack. You're saying that Cobb's better suited to maybe more of a West Coast attack than what they had in Arizona?
John, exactly. In fact, it's amazing. Coming out of lockout 2 years ago, I was working for Fox Sports. And I wrote a piece on Cobb, and this is before we knew that he was going to be traded to the Cardinals. And what I wrote was that if you study Cobb's history, it's very clear. Anyone who wants him, you need to be in a really not just a shorter passing game, but less of a drop. And as you said, and you're right, the Steeler passing game has always been 5 and 7, a little bit of 3, but mostly 5 and 7, and a deeper passing game. I'll never understand it, but I think what happened here with the Bills is very simple. They want to run their offense like they did last year at Syracuse with Ryan Nassib. They did a great job at Nassib. Nassib is a Philly guy. In fact, he grew up 15 minutes from me. I think he would fit in very well in that offense, but I think Kevin Cobb fits in well. Because one thing that I know about Kevin Cobb is he wanted to do more no huddle, more hurry up, like the Bills are doing, and he wasn't allowed to do that. Here, he'll do that.
Did Andy Reid make Kevin Cobb effective, or was it kind of the other way around? Did Kevin Cobb just really, you know, shine a couple of times at least in Andy Reid's system there in Philadelphia?
Yeah, John, I think Andy Reid, and if there's one thing he's great at, is managing quarterbacks and teaching. He's one of the best, really, in the last 14 or 15 years. You know, he's just great at it. He learned from Mike Holmgren, obviously, and he's been tremendous at it. I think he picked Kevin Cobb to be his successor, obviously, to Donovan McNabb. It didn't work out. But I think what happened was, with the Eagles, was very simple. Their offensive line had some injury issues. Now, then Cobb got hurt against the Packers in 2010. Michael Vick came in, played fairly well for a bit, and that was it for Kevin Cobb. And, you know, they had to move him. So that's pretty much it for Kevin Cobb. And by the way, that deal has been agreed to. Here's the deal.
Yeah, we're still waiting for official confirmation.
Yeah, I'll just tell you, as of the minute, there was some language that had to be cleaned up with the CBA. The first contract submission would not have been approved. So both sides had to go back, change some things. Things have to be faxed back, sent back and forth, signatures and all that. I would expect it to be done by tomorrow. If it's not, let's put it this way, John. He's going to be a Buffalo Bill. That's not the issue. The language in the contract has got to be approved by the management council. That's what my understanding is. Once it's approved, they'll announce it.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, we weren't starting to panic here. I'll tell you the truth. I was talking to someone who knows Cobb a little bit today and actually texted him the other day and said congratulations. And he said basically what you just said, that, you know, the deal is agreed to. He's coming here. They're just working out the kind of the fine points of the contract. So that's good news, because it has been, you know, the report came out Saturday night. Here we are 4 or 5 nights later and still nothing doing as far as Kevin Cobb. You're saying that's probably going to be cleared up tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be within 24 to 48 hours. Here's the bottom line, as you said. He's going to be a Bill, and I love the fact that they actually flew to his home in Texas and spent a day with him. And that just tells you, the fact that they were willing to do that tells you how bad they wanted him.
One more Kevin Cobb question for you, Adam.
Sure.
He really took a beating, and you referenced it, the bad offensive line they had in Arizona. I mean, even the Bills got hits on him, put him out of a game last year. The guy really took a beating, and is he still going to be effective after all that punishment, being sacked so many times?
Yeah, well, my understanding is he's totally healed. He's fine physically. He's ready to go. He suffered a couple bad injuries. There's no question about him. And the thing that concerns you, he's been sacked 57 times in the last 2 seasons, and that's – through his 14 starts, so that number's got to come way down. And, you know, the Bills' offensive line, as I mentioned when I broke the Cobb story, is that one of the things that I like is the Bills' offensive line isn't great, but it's going to be way better than the Cardinals. And then during the draft, it's something clearly they could address after you lose a guy like Lavitre. So I think their offensive line will be better. I think their system will fit Cobb. I think all things considered, John, everything will be better.
Talking with Adam Kaplan, who covers the NFL for the last 12 years, the NFL reporter, works for SiriusXM Satellite Radio, NFL analyst for PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and you can check him out on Twitter at KaplanNFL. Hey, Adam, do you do a mock draft? Do you get deep into it?
I do. You know, I'm not a big mock drafter, but my followers on Twitter kill me over to do them.
Yeah.
So I'll do 2 or 3 of them, and we'll put it on the sidelineview.com. I'll probably do one in about a week, and I... You know, the Bills are kind of that hot spot at number 8. It's certainly interesting. There are a couple ways they can go there.
Yeah, well, and it is why I want to ask you about that, but here's why I bring it up. We were talking about this earlier tonight on the show. You know, the recognized experts of drafting, Mel Kiper, Mike Mayock, Todd McShay, last year, first round, you know, their mock drafts, their final mock drafts, matching player to team, Kiper had 6 out of 32, right? Mayock had 4. McShay had 4. I mean, I know mock drafts are tough, and one team can throw it off. But I often, and I said this, you know, first hour of the show, what are we doing with these mock drafts? Nobody really has a real good handle on how it's going to work out.
No one knows, but we don't have, but John, here's the thing. We don't have access to really what these teams are thinking. We think we do. I mean, the best I've ever, one year, my good friend Tony Pauline and I, we got 19 right. We beat the great Rick Goslin from the Dallas Morning News.
Yeah.
But I think 2 years ago I had six. I mean, like, and you just nailed it. One pick can knock the whole thing crazy.
Yeah.
So listen, these mock drafts are fun. I really don't take them seriously. Do I try hard? Yes. I'll let you know what I hear. But one decision, one pick changes the whole thing for teams. That's the thing you got to understand.
And you said the Bills are in an interesting position, I assume, because of the quarterback question. And now with Cobb coming into the fold, that sort of maybe changes. I'm beginning to think it won't be a first-round quarterback for the Bills now. What do you think?
I agree with you. I think that Ryan Nassib, to me, would make a lot of sense for them in round two or to trade up in back of round one. Something I felt since the Senior Bowl. I was there in Mobile. It was the first time I had to see him in person. He was tremendous during practice. He's a smart guy. High Wunderlich score, good quarterback, nice intermediate arm strength. I think he's going to be a good NFL quarterback. But the fact of the matter is, when you look at their needs, with Cobb there and maybe drafting a quarterback within the first half of the draft, then you could start looking at defense with the scheme change, with the philosophy changes. They need outside pass rushers badly. They need offensive line help. Running back, they're tremendous. Offensive line, they could address, obviously. And wide receiver, they certainly need some depth.
And so your mock draft, I'll tell you what, let's make a deal, Adam. When your mock draft comes out, let's get you on and talk about it.
I'd like to talk to you more.
We're out of time tonight. And then maybe after the draft, if you don't mind, we can compare your mock draft to how it played out.
Yeah, I want to see yours. Now you doing one?
No, now I'm tempted to. You're right.
You got him, man.
You just threw down the gauntlet. I'm going to have to do one now. I have to do one now. I can't call out everybody else's mock draft if I don't do one myself. You're right.
Got it.
Adam, thanks. Thanks for being on the air with us tonight. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
NFL reporter Adam Kaplan covers the NFL, and you can hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio. He's an NFL analyst for PhiladelphiaEagles.com, and his stuff is always accessible on Twitter, at Kaplan NFL, at C-A-P-L-A-N NFL. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're live at One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550. John Murphy Show presented by NOCO. We're at One Bills Drive, and there's an interesting, I think it's an experiment, but an interesting deal going on with our very own Hannah Bueller, the marketing communications manager for the Buffalo Bills. You see her on BuffaloBills.com. We talked to her all last fall with the Bills in the community. Hannah's involved in a 12-week workout program that leads up to the 50-yard finish, the race that ends at Ralph Wilson Stadium on the 50-yard line in midsummer this year. Hannah Bueller joins us in our studio right now. Thank you very much for coming by, Hannah. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
A 12-week program that started, what, in mid-March for you, right?
Mid-March, 12-week program. I'm getting in shape and ready to run this race. Like I told you before, I am not much of a runner. So experiment might be a good word for
okay,
this.
Maybe it is an experiment.
This is something we've never done on BuffaloBills.com, so it's exciting to say the least.
And it started up, and it will start. People can follow along your progress on BuffaloBills.com, a video component starting tomorrow, this week, right?
Yep. BuffaloBills.com/50-yard finish. That's 50-yard finish spelled out. We're having new videos every Friday, 6 a.m. for all you early birds out there. And our videos, I'm training along with Dan LaBird, Hal Luther, Eric Ciano, Bill's strength and conditioning staff. So we're doing different exercises to train me for running. These are exercises that you can do at home. You can follow my progress. But it's mostly about strength, because I think the biggest thing that I've learned in my time doing this so far is that you need strength to be able to run. You need your arms. You need your legs strong. And some people think that they can just go and run and run and run and they'll be ready for a race. It's not about that. It's weight training, it's cardio, it's eating right. So we're going to have all of those components in these videos, different exercises for 12 weeks to get us ready for the race.
See, I would have think it would have been cardio first, but they've told you that's not the case, right?
I mean, we do some cardio. We do running. We do interval running. We do training like that. We do training on the bikes. But we're also going to, because the biggest component for me, along with training and exercising, is the nutrition component.
Yeah.
We have had Dan and I have had countless conversations about eating and the things that you're eating. And I thought I was eating pretty healthy, but I really wasn't. And so we're going to go over that. What are you eating? Let's cut out some things. What can we do to change your diet to coincide with working out? Because so many people go to the gym. They work so hard. They take time away from their families and work and this and that, and they don't see results. It's because the two have to go together. So we're going to talk a lot about that.
You're working with Dan LeBird, who's the Bills strength coach, and Eric and Hal, the strength coaches. And are they putting you a similar program to what they put Bills players through?
Yeah, you know, a lot of these exercises, mostly all of them, and the nutrition component, Bills players all the time. That's what they do. They train them so they know, and they do these same exercises that I do. So it's not too far off. You know, we're working the same way that NFL players work, because everyone can do it. You know, you don't just have to be an NFL athlete. Of course, that would help.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm doing the same type of exercises and I'm seeing results. And everyone can do this and follow along in our progress.
And the goal for you is to get to the 50-yard finish, which is Saturday, June 29th. Tell us, first of all, what that is, what's going on in the stadium.
The 50-yard finish, it's the second annual 50-yard finish race. It starts at Ralph Wilson Stadium and ends right on the 50-yard line of Ralph Wilson Stadium. The course, as I'm told, takes you through historic Orchard Park, and you end up on the 50-yard line. The stadium is open. Fans mm-hmm. are there cheering. We're going to have the Jills out there, Billy Buffalo.
And it's a half marathon if you'd like.
A half marathon if you'd like. If you're ambitious, the half marathon starts at 7 a.m. At 7:15 is the 5K, the race that I'm running. And then 11 a.m., the kids' race. They're going to run a mile. It's fun for the whole family. It's June 29th. Sign up and register on buffalobills.com/50-yard-finish right now. There's an early registration discount for Bills season ticket holders, which is nice. And I'm told there are some season ticket holder prizes for the season ticket holders that come in first.
Hannah, thanks for coming by. Good luck with this.
Thank you.
Hannah Buehler, who is our guest during the regular season, and as she follows the Bills in the community, and you can check out her progress at buffalobills.com with the workout program. She said bright and early tomorrow it'll be up there on buffalobills.com. Take a quick phone call here as we wind things down. Bobby in Niagara Falls. Hello, Bobby. Welcome. You're on the air.
First-time caller to your show. Before I ask my question real quick, because I know we're running out of time, I'm glad they chose you to be a Van's successor. I think you're just as good as he is, and I just wanted to say that.
Oh, thanks, Bobby.
My question is, my buddy's very upset that, and has been since they chose Doug Marrone to be the Bills' head coach because Doug hasn't coached in the NFL ever. And from your gut, I want to know if you think that matters. My personal opinion is I'm glad they tried somebody young and somebody different who hasn't been through the recycling. What do you think, Murph?
I think, Bobby, he has pretty much the resume you'd be looking for. He has coached in the NFL. You know, he had that tenure with the New Orleans Saints, for instance. And, you know, I think the Jets. I think he's played in the league. He's been an assistant coach in the league. And he's had his own program, obviously Division I college football program, not NFL. You know, there's a couple of different ways to do this. If you go out and find a guy who's been a head coach in the league, then you get criticized for hiring a retread. You know, similar to what people said when Chan Gailey took over. Oh, what an uninspired choice, a retread coach. No, Doug Marrone is certainly not a retread coach. He's a guy who's getting his first shot at head coach in the NFL, but he has run his own program at SU. He has been in the league as a player and a coach. I think he's kind of got the pedigree that one would look for. And, you know, we are very early in the stages of the Doug Marrone tenure here at One Bills Drive. In fact, we are, 3 days into his time with the Bills players. So there's a lot still to come. But I think it's probably the type of resume you'd be looking for when you would look for the next head coach of the Buffalo Bills. And that's why they settled on him, I think, back in January. All right, well, tomorrow night we're on the podcast. One of the things you want to do tomorrow night, we'll follow up on Kevin Cobb, see if that comes down tomorrow. You heard, or maybe you didn't hear about the story, the NFL has ordered and will order all teams to have cameras in their locker rooms next season with video shown only on stadium scoreboards. It's part of a way to enhance the fan experience in the stadiums. You know, they'll have cameras in the locker room shooting halftime, pregame, postgame, all in a way to make it, a little bit better video, a little bit better experience, rather, for the people in the stands, the ticket-buying customers. What do you think of that idea? Do you have thoughts on that? Do you see any potential pitfalls? Let us know. We'll talk about it on the podcast tomorrow night. We may even line up a guest to talk about it. And if you have thoughts on that, it's hard to do interactive when you're on the podcast, but if you have thoughts on that, email the show with questions or comments. The email address, johnmurphyshow@bills.nfl.com. johnmurphyshow@bills.nfl.com. Your thoughts on cameras in the locker rooms with the video being displayed on scoreboards, Jumbotron scoreboards. It's coming next year to the National Football League, so get ready for that. All right, podcast tomorrow night around 7 o'clock. You can check it out at buffalobills.com/johnmurphyshow. I want to thank our presenting sponsor, NOCO. Family-owned, locally operated since 1933. Explore what NOCO can do for you at NOCO.com. Our engineer tonight, Mike Jafari. Our producer, the maestro, Russ Burton. Bill's director of broadcasting, Jeff Matthews. Podcast tomorrow at 7 o'clock. The John Murphy Show, presented by NOCO. Coming to you live tonight from One Bills Drive on the home of the Bills, WGR Sports Radio 550.